Lord Jesus and Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the many things you've blessed us with this day, and now the blessed opportunity to be able to get back into your word. Help us now as we get into your word to understand everything that we read, apply it to our lives, grow closer to you, and share it with others. So much you provide us with, so much you give us, and we way more than we deserve. It's by your grace and your mercy that we even exist. Help us to always realize that and acknowledge that, and thank you for that. As we pray in Jesus' precious holy name, amen. Today is St. Patrick's Day. Just watching on the news, there was a lot of parties, a lot of festivities, and parades, and a lot of people drinking green beer, and a lot of craziness going on. It's shameful. We need to pray for those folks that have gotten into such activities that they realize the harm that they're doing to themselves and their relationship with each other as well as relationship with the Lord. Because it isn't just the ungodly bunch that's out there participating in such festivities. It's the children of a disobedience as well, which are the so-called born-again Christians that are out there entangling themselves with the activities of the world and have these events, St. Patrick's Day, what it has become, and they get involved in some of the ungodly things. They become partakers with them. They will be accountable because it says the wrath of God comes upon the children of disobedience. Got to understand that. Got to let them know that through their disobedience, they're going to be getting a chastisement for it. They're either going to lose rewards or they're going to get even worse chastisement come upon them. Not to mention how it messes up their testimony with others. But let's take a look at this day that has been set aside as a memorial to St. Patrick. Of course, it originally goes back to the Patrick, who was a patron saint of Ireland. And he was born in Britain, the son of a Christian deacon. And when he was 16, Irish raiders stormed his village, took him as a captive to Ireland, and sold him into slavery. And after 6 years of captivity, he escaped and began studying at a monastery and was made a bishop at age 43. And Patrick went back to Ireland as a missionary and is credited with introducing Christianity to Ireland. That's what Patrick should be remembered for. His devotion to spreading the gospel. His example of forgiveness. An awesome example of forgiveness. To be able to go back to a land, to a group of people that took him as such a young man and put him in slavery. And yet had a compassion for them, had a desire to go back to that land and share the gospel with them. That's an awesome testimony. And it sure is shameful what the world has turned that awesome testimony into today with the activities that the world participates in, the United States in particular. To turn it into a time where they just plaster themselves with alcohol and partying and dancing and even the parades and so forth has nothing to do with honoring the memory of a godly man or honoring his work in the line of forgiveness. Nothing based on that. None of the activities is based on that. And it's sad the way Satan has been able to take things and manipulate them and take something that should be a good God-glorifying memorial to a man who devote his life to spreading the gospel and turn it into a drunken party. And that's the way Satan works. But let's look at some of the things that they use and some of the things that St. Patrick used. In his methods of reaching the people of Ireland, one of the things was the shamrock. We see this in some of the decorations that they use. But if you notice a subtle change in many of the decorations, At one time, they were very prominently displaying a shamrock, which is a leaf that has three lobes, you might say, on one stem. And now they've turned it into four-leaf clovers, which is not a shamrock. The four-leaf clover does not apply to the teachings that St. Patrick used. He used the shamrock to try and explain the concept of the Trinity. Because if you look at the shamrock, it's a single leaf, but the way it's designed, it's like three lobes on a leaf, three petals that are made into one on one single stem. So he would use that, something in common in Ireland, to show them the Father, the Son, the Holy Ghost. Three individuals, but yet in one. Three in one, teaching them about the Holy Ghost, the Son, and the Father. Right there in that little thing. And the use of green, the color of plant life, green can stand for awakening and new beginnings and growth. In the Celtic pagan religions, they have this, what they call a Celtic green man, which is a vegetation and fertility god. But Patrick would use the green to represent new life, because in the springtime, when everything starts to grow again, you become revived. It's like being born again. So he would use that color to help direct them to an understanding of new birth. But the main thing we need to remember when it comes to St. Patrick is that he was a very forgiving man and devoted to the Lord. That's the kind of things that we should remember when it comes to St. Patrick's Day. Not think of all the Irish Celtic and cults and the Druids and so forth, their behavior and the lucky charms and the green beer, and they've just taken everything and turned it back to pagan origins. But let's remember St. Patrick for what he displayed, and that was devotion to the Lord and forgiveness. In Matthew chapter 5, verse 44, in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 44, we see an awesome verse that could be applied to this. An example that St. Patrick displayed. And it reads, "But I say unto you," of course this is the words of Jesus Christ, "but I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you." An awesome display of forgiveness is what Patrick was doing in going back to the land that took him captive and put him into slavery. Forgiveness. We see so many examples of opportunities presented in front of us throughout the world of the opportunities of forgiveness. And we see examples of people that aren't forgiving. In recent news about the killing of those 17 people in that mosque overseas, that individual that did that was not displaying forgiveness. Even though the Islam community, the Muslims themselves, despise Christians and they follow their guidelines and their teachings, they consider it a good act to kill or to destroy Christians. They've killed 2,500 Christians in 2018 alone that has been documented, and many more, I'm sure, beyond that, that hadn't been documented. But yet, we shouldn't hate them. We shouldn't destroy them. We should do as Patrick did. Show forgiveness. Show love. Show them the gospel. Get them converted so they can take that devotion that they have and direct it in the right manner. Instead of being devoted to a pagan god called Allah, that's an ancient moon god, they could turn all that energy around and serve the Lord, true and living God. So we might have a tendency to hate Muslims and to display that in our attitude and our behavior and our speech. But we're not supposed to do that. We're supposed to care for them. We're supposed to love them as would be anybody else that's disobedient person. Because that's basically what it is. They're disobedient. They're not obeying the true and living God. They're not believers in Jesus Christ. So we need to take the example that Patrick gave us and the words of Jesus Christ right here and love your enemies. Bless them that curse you. Do good to them that hate you. And pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. As we see all over the world, the Muslims persecuting the Christians. And they're on the increase here in this country. They have infiltrated every aspect of this country's business world and political world. And they are very prominent in this country now, growing like crazy, spreading their lies and their Antichrist movement. And they're even in Congress now. They're in all the high up organizations of the government. They're in all of the high up law enforcement agencies as well as the local. They are totally infiltrated into this country. And that means there are opportunities everywhere for us to reach those individuals. And that's what we need to do. We need to pray for them. We need to get them converted to Christianity, out of that evil religion of Islam. Use the example that St. Patrick gave us. Pray for them, even though they are being positioned in places waiting for the call to rise up, which there will be as we study the last days prophecies, the battle of Gog and Magog, when that battle will occur and the Muslims will be very prominent in that, and they will be completely wiped out and gone because of that. As they enter into the tribulation time, the Muslims won't exist anymore. They'll be wiped out in the battle of Gog and Magog. But that ought to encourage us to know the days are few. We need to be busy doing the work the Lord has set for us. And one of the ways that we can do that is spread the gospel everywhere, even to those countries and even to those people that clearly hate us and persecute us and kill us every chance they get. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. Matthew chapter 6. The awesome example prayer that he gave us. Verse 9 through 15. After this manner therefore pray ye, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. For if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. So we got to know, we need to be forgiven. Even forgiving of the most evil people on the planet. In Romans chapter 12, in verse 14, the teachings of Paul to the church at Rome, that he's going by what he has learned from the Lord, and it reads, Bless them which persecute you, bless and curse not. It would be so easy to curse those that are out there persecuting Christians, that are killing them, slaughtering them by the thousands around the world. It'd be very easy to do that. But we're not supposed to do that. What are we supposed to do? We're supposed to bless them, not curse them. Rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep. Be of the same mind one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. It doesn't say live peaceably with all the other Christians. It says live peaceably with all men. So it needs to be our goal to live peaceably with all nations, with all men, Christian and non-Christian. We need to live peaceably with them. But note what he says in here. If it be possible. Letting us know there are times that there are going to be some people that you cannot live peaceably with. So what do we do with those? Somebody that you cannot live peaceably with, what are you supposed to do as a Christian? Keep after them, keep trying to connect with them, keep trying to have contracts with them or treaties with them or agreements with them? No. Because, like it says in the Word of God, what contract or what concord has the Lord with Belial, which is the evil, which is the ungodly? There is no contract, there is no creed, there is no agreement that the godly can make with the ungodly, because the ungodly are not going to hold up to their side of the agreement. They can't be trusted. So in that, we got to be very careful how we deal with these ungodly people out there, how we connect with them, how we make a concord or agreement or treaty with them, understanding that that treaty can be broken by them at any time because they cannot be trusted. So there are times when we need to disassociate. We need to pull out from them, to get away from them. We've seen this in our efforts to try to bring peace to the Middle East, in our treaties and in our contracts and agreements and associations with the ungodly that are over there, that might be the what we would call the good bad guys. We've seen so many examples in the past where you make a contract or a concord or you associate and bring somebody that you think should be winning the battle in a civil war, and you lift them up, you give them funds, you give them streets and hospitals and new weapons. And then a few years later, when you've conquered their enemy, it seems like things start to change in that country. And then the very people that you helped wind up turning all that around that you've given them and using it against you, which is exactly what we see happening in the Middle East. And we've seen in other places. And it will be repeated. You go lifting up an ungodly person and giving them power and strength and ability to reproduce more of their ungodliness in the effort of being good, all you're doing is empowering another evil. So we got to be very careful how we associate with the ungodly out there in the world. We're supposed to bless them which persecute you. Bless and curse not. Yes. We're supposed to pray for them. But it doesn't say we're supposed to be linked up with them in a concord, with an agreement, with an association, with an alliance. That's where you've crossed the line. You become partakers with them. So it's very challenging for our world leaders, very challenging for our political group here, as well as our military, to understand how we can be the police of the world and do a right work, a godly work, without being entangled in a manner that's going to come back to bite us later. Because a snake is a snake. He's not going to change because you make him your pet. He's still a snake. I know, I've had snakes as pets, and I've been bit many times by the very animal that I was trying to use as a pet that I would feed and take care of, and he turned around and bite me. Why? Because snakes are snakes. The ungodly are ungodly. Until they're converted into something else, you cannot trust them. But we need to bless them in ways that we can that won't come back to bite us. We need to pray for them. We need to share the gospel with them to help them become new creatures in Christ, to help them get out of their evil ways so that they can bring honor and glory to the Lord instead of being an antichrist, be a Christian. Then we've done a good godly work. So in everything that we get associated with or connected with, whether it's our military actions, whether it's our charitable givings or associations and connections with other groups that give or do works throughout the world, we've got to be very careful in the way that we help them and support them. Are we helping someone just to prosper in an ungodly manner, or are we helping them understand the gospel? All the works, all the efforts to rebuild and establish a country that has fallen to disarray or to civil wars or to some tyrant, we lift that country up. Have we lifted that country up just with the substance that they need to continue their ungodly ways, or have we lifted them up in a way that will help them come to know the Lord? In all of our giving and all of our efforts, spreading the gospel and praying for someone's salvation, that's the primary goal that we need to have. All the efforts should be focused primarily on helping people understand Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, first and utmost. After that, then they are a brother in Christ. After that, they are part of the family. After that, we can flood them with as much care and love and blessings and gifts and prosperity as we possibly can. But the world has got things mixed up and out of order. Way too many times we're giving prosperity and wealth and substance to the ungodly that we consider a friend, that later on then turn around and use that right against us, or use that to spread their ungodliness other places. And that's why we are seeing the increase of Islam in this country, because we have the misconception that if we welcome these people in and give them jobs and opportunities and prosperity, then they become our friend. They're still a snake. They're going to act like a snake until they get converted. So we need to help them get converted first, then give them the blessings on top of that. And that's where we get messed up. We get things out of order. Things have to be done in an orderly way, in a proper manner, in a proper fashion. And if it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Because sometimes it's not possible until you help them see the light, till you help them in the right manner first, then you can pour all the many blessings you possibly can upon them, because then they've become part of the family. So you see, that's what we need to do. Just as St. Patrick did when he went to Ireland, he didn't go over there and start building opportunities for the Celtic religions of the Druids and the pagans to continue to prosper in their country. Because he loved them so much, he just wanted to help them. No, he went over there and helped them in the ultimate way, which was to bring Christianity to them. Then that made a difference in the entire nation. Just as we, all of our efforts should be focused primarily on the Middle East or other countries, wherever it may be that we go out to conquer evil, the first thing we ought to be focused on is spreading the gospel to that community, getting them born again. Then we can help them build wells and build hospitals and build roads and have water for their crops and so forth. But Satan has people so confused. He's tugging at their heartstrings. These people need prosperity. These people need your medical assistance. They need your money so they can have the food that they need, so they can grow up healthy to live the ungodly lives they like to live. That's the way the world does it. They got things out of order. We got to be very careful how we, as stewards, use the things that the Lord has blessed us with and given us, If we share the blessings that the Lord has given us to an ungodly person to help them live a more productive, ungodly life, then we have failed as stewards. So we got to be very careful with that. And do the Great Commission. Matthew chapter 28, verse 19. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. So let's do that. Let's help this world. Let's spread the gospel. Let's pray for the ungodly. Let's pray for those disobedient children of God. Let's pray for all those that persecute and hunt us down to kill us, and help them get saved. Help them see the light. Help them see the love of Jesus Christ so that they can come out of that ungodly world and be Christians, be part of our family instead of being a bunch of snakes. So forgive one another so you can be forgiven. Take the example that St. Patrick gave us, and even help those that have hurt us in the past by praying for them and showing the gospel to them, sharing the gospel, sharing the love of Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Lord Jesus and Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the many, many opportunities you give us each and every day to be able to be a part of your work. The various things that we see around the world, so many opportunities around the world, as well as in each and every one of our little circle of influences that we have. Opportunities to be able to show this forgiveness that St. Patrick showed us, that he learned from you. And the forgiveness that you showed us, the opportunity that you've given us because of the finished work that you have done for us, and allow us to be a part of your family. Help us to share that as you've instructed us to do that very thing. Give us the ability to do that. Give us the strength to do that, the wisdom to do it right, and the boldness. We thank you so much as we pray in Jesus' precious holy name. Amen.